Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad that you could be with me as we continue on in a message, The Light of the Soul. And we've been talking about eyes, our eyes and the eyes of the Lord, as found in scriptural references, but primarily focusing on the Song of Solomon, where there's just a total amazing verse found in the 6th chapter, verse 5. This is the Lord speaking. Actually, this is King Solomon is writing about the Shulamite gal and that he betroths and marries, but eventually we understand that it is an allegory, if you will, between Christ and the holy and pure and passionate love that he has for his church, and vice versa. But verse 5 says, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." What an amazing statement, and only those who have been radically, seriously, amazingly in love can relate to that statement, because if you've ever been in love that deeply, you will find just a glance from the beloved can just totally melt your heart and overwhelm you. And as I said, only those who have experienced that can relate to that, but the Lord he's being so vulnerable and transparent in this passage of Scripture to describe His heart for us. And yesterday we were looking at what are those things that can so, what is it in our glance that would so overwhelm Him? His eyes are full of love, but when our eyes look to Him in a, not just casually, but with real sense of connecting and communication, you know, just like you've got a real friend, you can glance, but when you really look at someone, you lock and have eye contact, right? Well, this is the kind of experience that this scripture is talking about, real, true eye contact. And when we really look to the Lord as a sinner, as a backslider in deep repentance for our sins, he's overwhelmed that we are finally coming to Him. Look at that extravagant story about the prodigal son. I mean, the father, he doesn't even wait. He wasn't concerned about his dignity. He ran out to embrace his son. So when we look to Him in repentance or look to Him for salvation, we do that by faith, and we know our faith pleases God. When we look to Him in prayer, when we look to Him as the source of everything that we stand in need of, but primarily His love. If we will have Jesus, all these other things will flow. What does the scripture say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek after Jesus, and what? All these other things will be added to you. And as we look to Him in rest and a rapturous, restful love, just being still and knowing that He's God, sometimes just being with Him, don't you suppose the heart of God desires that? Instead of coming to Him with a long prayer list of the things that we're asking God to do in our behalf or behalf of loved ones, we simply go to be with Him. Haven't you had a loved one or a friend that it's just, you just want to be with them? You don't have an agenda. You just want to enjoy their company. Well, don't you suppose the Lord feels that way as well? And also, we're to look to Him for His appearing. That glorious day is coming soon when Jesus will return for His bride. Praise God. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. So let's think about this passage a little bit more. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. And we can look into His beautiful face only when we're doing those things I just shared with you. If we have sin in our lives or doubt, well, that would cause us to lower eyes. We couldn't look full in the face of the Lord. But He is saying that as we love Him completely and utterly, isn't that the first and greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's describing the very vulnerability of our Lord. We've seen that looking at His church has overcome the heart of the Lord Jesus. And let me just make some remarks about that. If we, as the body of Christ, as the church, if we would look more at Jesus, well, I believe we would overcome the world more. You know, when you think about it, Jesus says we're more than overcomers. We are conquerors in Him. But think about this. He's all things in heaven and earth are His. He has the keys of death and in hell. He has all power in heaven and in earth. So in Christ, we overcome the world. But think about this, to overcome the Lord, that's even a greater thing. When this is finally done, when we are able as a church, as a body of Christ to do this, we have entered into that beautiful, mature, holy love relationship with our spiritual bridegroom. And when I believe we can do this, and we're all in a process, He's bringing us there by the Holy Spirit, then we can go forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer everything less than our matchless Lord in His name and for His love. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. If we're passionately in love with Jesus, we can say amen to that passage of Scripture. When the eyes of the bride are fully set on Jesus, when we, brother and sister, are so overwhelmed and so fixed in our attention, in our focus, and in our love, we will overcome. And I believe that truly is the secret of that spiritual strength, inner strength. If we will look to Jesus, what does Hebrews 12:1-2 say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking, notice that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 1 John 5:4 declares, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'd like to share a little story found in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and it's Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. And this is Chapter 15:21. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I've read an explanation of that. He was not being unloving or sarcastic because she wasn't Jewish. Actually, that term dogs there refers to a little pet dog, a familiar family guest. So he wasn't, you know, putting her down. Then Jesus in verse 28 answered and said, oh, no, excuse me, we can't miss verse 27. That's the most important one. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. Praise God. So what can we see in this little story? Well, this woman of Canaan came to Jesus. Her daughter was demon-possessed. He answered not a word. The disciples told Jesus to send her away. She was bothering them. He said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she persisted. She worshipped him. And he compliments her. He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And it's interesting. He knew how things were going to develop, and he was just sort of baiting her along to see what she would do, and she was going to persist. She wasn't going to give up. And here we see that Jesus himself seems to surrender to her request at discretion. He is conquered by that faith which he himself had put into her heart. She'd obviously heard about Jesus, and she knew that she knew her daughter would have deliverance if she could just get to him and appeal to him for her need. And so, beloved, faith is the eye of the soul. And here is an instance of the eyes of faith overcoming the Lord. He was persuaded by faith. Praise God. Is that precious or not? You know, we cannot vanquish the Lord by the works of our hands. We can't impress him with the eloquence of our speech. I want to turn to Psalm 149 and 10. Excuse me, 147 and 10 and read, actually, and 11. This is speaking of the Lord. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Amen and amen. And so we can overcome the Lord, if you will, by the pleading of our eyes, the faith that God has placed within us. And as I frequently like to say, for those who say, well, Sister Judith, I just don't have faith. Well, God is not unrighteous. And whatever you're facing right now, he has given you the faith you need. In fact, I want to bring this broadcast to a close by praying, because if whatever situation you're going through right now, if you will fasten your eyes on the Lord, if by faith your eye will be single, your whole body will be full of the Lord, the light of God's presence, you will see God move, you will move him by your love and by your faith. Father, in Jesus' name, those that are going through troubles right now, Father, I pray that every eye shall be turned upon you. And Lord, then the eye of faith, we will see, Lord, your compassion, your love, and your willingness to help. You never turned anyone aside, Lord, that came to you when you physically walked this earth. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, as we fasten our eyes upon you, as we look upon Jesus and his wonderful face, Lord, the things of this earth are growing dim, and we see the glorious bounty of your promises, the completeness of your atoning work for us. And we claim that salvation, that deliverance, that healing, that strength, that provision that's needed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. My time's gone. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,